I'd like to open it up for a time for us to share stories. You may have, in the building here, if you've been in this week, you have seen a group of the most wonderful people camping out in our building because they were evacuated from Glen Eyrie. We have a wonderful group of navigators who've come from all over the world. And we just had the pleasure of hosting them in the building. It was tremendous fun, and they have asked us if they could speak this morning because they would like to tell you a little bit about their experience. So you could run a mic down to the navs, Brian. This is Drew. He's become our friend.
Thank you. My name is Drew Fraser. My wife and I live up in the People's Republic of Boulder during the regular year. We were assigned this summer to lead our global student program, which composes of 36 people from 12 different nations, 5 different continents from around the world. They're some of our best and brightest young leaders in the navigator work that we have on those places and young staff. Last Saturday, a week ago from yesterday, about 12:30, we were eating our lunch. We're all working at Glen Eyrie property. Maybe you've been to Palmer's Castle. That's a navigator property. I was walking back and saw just a wisp of smoke. And I ran to the nearest phone to call 911. And they said, it's in Waldo Canyon. Don't worry about it. It's not in Queens Canyon. It was my first day off in a while, so I took a nap. They beat on my door about 2:30 and said, we're having a meeting. Come on down. At that point, we decided we were going to evacuate Glen Eyrie and all Eagle Lake properties. We loaded up 36 people on buses and cars. I saw a few scared faces looking at me, and I said, I know I just met you 2 weeks ago. Trust me, I'll keep you alive. We went to a Woodman Valley Church, where they got evacuated. We went to First Pres downtown, where by the time I got there, they had had food, sleeping bags, and set us up for the night. And within the first 24 hours, we had everybody placed in a host home, many right here in this area. One of my next big pieces of the puzzle is how do I keep them together and moving through any sort of a program? And your church has graciously opened up the doors. We've been here pretty much every day this week. This has felt like a second home. I know they would all say that. We've had our meetings here. We've eaten most of our meals here. About a third of our program has been spent here at Covenant Presbyterian. I was raised in a PCUSA church. This is a bit of a homecoming for me. And we just wanted to thank you, each and every one of you. You might be wondering how the church is responding. And I know it's responding in so many different ways that are blessing the community. But for 36 of us that have nowhere to go, still, Glen Eyrie isn't open just yet. We're thinking in the next few days, if they can get power restored, all the power lines were burned. Glen Eyrie property is safe. Praise the Lord. And we're in a position now where we're recognizing just how gracious your church has been to us. You can imagine being overseas and being at the world center stage in a national disaster. I remember sitting up in Briargate on Tuesday afternoon trying to arrange meals and other things and see if vendors could donate and different things like that. And they've been so generous to here in the Springs. And I remember watching the fire jump Queens Canyon and start to come down towards the Flying W and the Mountain Shadow area. Our students were bowling. I was freaking out. And the Lord has really given me a lot of strength in this verse in Psalm 121 this week. And it says this, I lift my eyes up to the hill. And I had my eyes fixed on the hill. And as we saw that fire spilling down towards those homes, I was pretty panicked. And I thought of this verse, it says, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord and the maker of heaven and earth. The rest of it's beautiful. I'll skip down to the last two verses of the chapter. It says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So as a program, we just wanted to say thank you. This has been our home away from home. This has been our refuge in a time of trouble. This facility has been a physical representation of God's protection of our life this week. So we wanted to thank you. I'd like to ask everybody who's in the GSP, the Global Student Program, just stand up so you guys can know who these folks are. I think there's a few back here. They're from 12 nations from around the world. Thanks, guys. Thanks. And this has become a very special place to us. So we wanted to give our gratitude. Thank you very much. I've asked Princess if she'd share just her experience being from Ghana here on center stage for this interesting week.
Thank you. Good morning again. I'm Princess. I'm from Ghana. It's in Africa, just to make sure. Coming here has been wonderful. I didn't expect any instability of any kind. So being at the Glen, being asked to evacuate was very, very difficult. We didn't expect to evacuate. Just about 10 minutes before time, we were making room for people from Eagle Lake to come and stay with us. Then 10 minutes later, we saw the police cab, and they were telling us to evacuate. So it was all very fast. But I didn't know what to expect, moving from one church to another in the same night and everything. But the Lord has been so good to us. The outpouring of donations to all of us, we're all overwhelmed with the kind of things that we got, food. We just didn't understand how the response could be so fast, and we were so grateful to God. And then the next day, we were put into host homes, and a couple of us, about four of us, are living with a lady, so I can speak about her, and she's so lovely. Each time we come into the house, we just see her light up, and you just know when someone is happy to see you, and she really is. And I believe that's what each one of us have experienced in the various homes that we're living in, and even in this church, where we don't come to church here, most of us didn't even know about this church before we even got here, the day we got here. But the way you've opened your arms to us, we know that indeed God works for the good of all those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He was teaching me something in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 11 downwards. And it says that you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for your obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you in their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thanks, Princess. If you would like to grab a microphone, please raise your hand. Marlene's at the back too, Brian. Be in two places at once.
I want to thank two couples at Covenant. Jack and I were evacuated from Peregrine, and Scott Stewart came over with his van and loaded every one of Jack's paintings into it. And it was such a relief to him. He loves me, he loves the cat, and he loves his paintings. George and Kathy Steiner took us in and have housed us. We feel like we may not want to go home. It's a really nice place to stay. I was noticing how very few people were in shelters. And I think that, for the most part, is a kudo to those of us who love Jesus and take people into our homes. And I think Christians all over the town, and non-Christians as well, have opened their homes in ways that we will never know. Yesterday, I was picking up our mail for the first time in the week, and our mail is delivered to the Rock Rim and Peregrine Mountain Shadows area, and the line to get the mail was enormous, 2-hour wait. And nobody complained. Everybody was in the same boat. You listened to the stories. You saw people crying in line. And people were handing out water and snack bars and chocolate roses. And I asked them, "Who are you?" And they said, "Oh, this is from our church. Be well." So praise God for his people and for those specifically that helped Jack and me. It's easy to keep your little story just inside your heart, but the big story here is we have served God this week.
Good morning. I'm Penny Stewart. My husband and I, Alan and I, I'm sorry, live in Rock Ribbon. And an hour after I saw flames last Saturday, I was packing the car. Alan called our dear friends Rick and Suleen, who took in not only us, but our pets, paintings, papers, pictures, and more than you can imagine. We commented that if looters came to our home, they would be very disappointed because there's nothing there. I promise you I'm not kidding. I want to also thank Don and Judy Shive and Kathy and George Steiner, who invited us over for dinner. It was a lovely evening of fellowship, wonderful food, and a terrific chance to take our minds off of what was happening out there. And we are just so grateful to be a part of this faith community.
Good morning. Jack and Bridget Roberts, we live in Rock Rimmon. And I'll try to keep this as short as possible. So Tuesday, the smoke came and I could see flames on the ridge. And I knew it was time to pack up and go, if nothing else for our lungs. So Bridget and my brother and the girls were off having fun. And so they came back and we got loaded up. We had a family meeting. I was in charge. I said, it's going to be okay. You may take one thing. I think each girl took half a dozen. And we loaded up. We got in line. It took us an hour to go 0.7 miles down Saddle Mountain. And before I left. So there were 12 of us, because Bridget and I both had family in town. One fish, one hamster, and one bunny. We didn't take the chickens. And the chickens are fine. When I was back making sure they had enough food and water before I hoped at least not more than 72 hours, and I just thought, the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Psalm 121 is what I was reminded of. Also, that's what I stood on when we were working and living in Afghanistan. And, you know, Nancy Tybert had called and said, hey, come. We got plenty of room. And we all arrived there. They had dinner waiting and beds. And such a cathartic experience just the whole time and like this, even today. And we had a spontaneous neighborhood barbecue yesterday. No open flames. And we had over 100 just in our neighborhood. And everybody has a story and has, you know, this is all personal. And like Penny said, it's a beautiful testimony of our community, this community, and the city we live in, and our neighbors and our neighborhoods. So we are so thankful. So thankful, and also it just so reminded Bridget of me of what really truly is important.
There's so much to say. What I love about this church is we've talked about.
Could you introduce yourself?
Oh, sorry. I'm Betsy Clark. What I love is, you know, Penny and Marlene talking about beauty, and that's really my takeaway. Archie and I are artists, and I was scheduled to do a retreat in my home, and I've spent the last month really fixing our home, painting and stenciling floors and painting walls and fixing ceilings and all that sort of stuff. And the irony of doing this art while everything is on a temporary evacuation, we are on a voluntary evacuation. And Archie was out of town and he had the van, and Tuesday at about 2, I decided to cancel the retreat, and these women coming from around the country canceled. And I went and got a storage unit out on the east side, and they were giving it to us for free. And the woman that helped me was a woman named Debbie. And she waived all the charges so that I could get my daughter's art and all the art of our, out of our house by myself before, you know, this fire progressed. And I love the fact that we're all talking about beauty, because that's really who God is. He is a God of beauty. He is benevolent. He is good. And we got, I got everything out. I got the animals out. And Wednesday morning, I was feeling very displaced and uber vulnerable. And at about 6:30, 7 o'clock, I got a phone call, and I didn't recognize the number on my cell phone. And it was the woman at the storage unit. And she said, "I couldn't sleep last night. All I did was cry and pray for you." I've never met this woman. And the acts of kindness, Archie and I are going through some challenging things with our family right now. And the acts of kindness from all of you, it's overwhelming. It strengthens us when we need it. And this is a beautiful body of believers. I just want to thank you. So thanks.
Hello, my name is Mark Morris. And our youngest daughter's wedding, I've been planning that for a year, was yesterday. And it was going to be up in Divide. And for obvious reasons, that was canceled. And there was a mad rush, a massive reorganization, and we had it here at the church. I just want to thank the church for opening up on very short notice to have the wedding here. It was a lightning-fast wedding. I've never seen one this fast, but it was a beautiful one. I think they wanted to get married before anything else happened.
I'd actually like to thank Susan Wyatt and Jeff Paddle, who did the wedding hostessing and the sound booth at extremely short notice. Susan had evacuees in her house, and she had an event planned with her daughter as well, and she managed to fit the Carrie's wedding in around that. It is truly wonderful to see this church family come together. Who else would like to have a microphone?
I just want to... Sorry.
Hang on.
Short people first.
My name is Kathy Dattweiler, and I live in Rock Rimmon. My daughter lives in Falcon, so we had an easy out. We didn't have to wait for a phone call with an invitation. They opened their home to not only us, but another family that is in a very tough spot in their relationship. They call their non-Christian friends pre-Christians, which I think is so precious, because it just shows that they hold hope in all of us that don't know Christ. And I'd just like to tell you about what the young man's experience was that staying with him. I won't mention his name. He was alone in his home, having driven in from a meeting that allowed him to get to his home barely in time to pack up before he went from pre-evacuation status to get the out of there. He had an epiphany after he finished packing what little things he needed to take. And the voice said to him, "What about the other people in those cul-de-sacs that are closer to the mountain? Maybe you better go check on them." So he did. He helped a few people, and then he thought, I'm not quite done yet. I better go to that very last cul-de-sac that's right next to the flames that I see coming down the hill on Mountain Shadows. He went to the last cul-de-sac. He went to the last house at the end of the last cul-de-sac, and there sat an elderly couple in their car with it running, sitting in the driveway. And he came up to them and he said, "Can I help you load something up?" No, we're waiting for our son to come help us load our car." And the police were already up the road with their bullhorns saying, "Get out now." But they wouldn't leave. So he said, "Well, what's your name? I'll take those paintings Do we have an artwork theme going on here? I'll take your paintings. Sure, take our paintings. What's your name? Our last name's, I don't know, I can't remember. Anyway, what church do you go to? Oh, well, my daughter goes there. So that's all he knows. He knows their last name and he knows what church they go to. He has their paintings. He was overwhelmed by the time he got to our daughter's house. And who was standing there but my son-in-law and my husband to take a fully grown man who collapsed into their arms weeping? I don't know what's going to happen to this experience, but I just ask that you pray for him because God is a redemptive God. And all those people out there who are pre-Christians, who are lending hands to people that they may not even know, like your storage lady, we need to pray for them because this is their moment. This is their moment that they can maybe connect and figure out who this God is and what place he has for them in his creation. So I just celebrate all of you who have reached out and all of those who reached out without knowing why. And let's just pray that God creates something beautiful out of all this. Thank you.
Renee? I just wanted to speak on behalf of Albert and Susan Yeh. They helped at the wedding yesterday. And so they aren't here to stand up today. So I just wanted to make everybody aware that they were evacuated. They were given a two-hour window this morning from 10 to 12 to go look at their house. They know that their house is okay, but they do know that there's damage in the area. So just wanted you guys to be aware of that, that that's where they are.
Hi, I'm Lonnie Stevens, and we're right over here in Briar Gate, so didn't have any trouble except a little smoke. But four of our closest friends in the Navigator community that we lead with, their houses burned to the ground, and there were nine Navigator staff whose houses burned to the ground. And one of those, well, two of them were with us for a while, and one other is a girl I've been discipling for about 3 years. She's had a challenging life. She's single and about 53. And her house burned to the ground, everything she owned. And she was staying with us, and she was quite distraught. But, you know, the Lord is really helping her surrender all. There's a times in our lives where God brings us to that point of great growth. I told her she was in graduate level Christianity. This is graduate school. But she's growing, and she's surrendering, and she's accepting the comfort that's coming from so many people. And so these folks, if you think of them, just they've lost so much. But they're praising God in the midst of it, and they're really trying to trust him, and they're in that struggle.
Katie, did you want to speak?
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know me, 4 months ago, I was Katie Peek, and we just got married here in Covenant, so now I go by Katie Young. Don't worry, we never really had any paintings. as they've mentioned, that you know we have lost our home. We were actually out of town last weekend. We were in Albuquerque visiting Andy's family, actually camping so far out that we didn't have cell phone service, so my point today is thank God for family. My brother was the one who started this whole contacting us thing, called my parents in Milwaukee, who called Andy's parents in Albuquerque, who called Andy's brother who we were camping with, who had cell phone service. And at first it was like, oh no, that's real far away from us. Cedar Heights, no, that's no problem, we're fine. We got another call about 20 minutes later. My brother said, what do you want from your home? So, thank God for family, my brother, my sister-in-law, my aunt, my uncle, my cousin, and his wife, 6 people from my family were in my home making the decisions for us as to what to save. And so we actually, for those of you who don't know where I live right outside the entrance of Flying W Ranch. And at that moment on Saturday from, you know, get the out from the police, we were sure that we were under a mandatory evacuation. Sunday morning, I skip church. And we actually snuck in from a back way and got into our home, which made us kind of curious, you know, if where we were in the evacuation. But it didn't matter for safety reasons. We were staying with my aunt and uncle. But we got in for about 15 minutes and just kind of, what do we need for the next couple of days? Because we'll be back. We'll be back. So we didn't really, I don't think made a couple of the right choices, but I think there's always that moment of we should have. So my family did a fantastic job getting as much as they could decide out. We got quite a few, you know, memorable pieces, but I just, I'm so thankful that I have the family that I do, the Peak family in Colorado Springs, because they have just been a good support for us and as my covenant family. I really appreciate all of you, and the next, I don't know how many months we're going to have to go through this. So.
Thanks, Katie. I'd like to draw this time to a close. I know that many of you have stories. I think probably all of us have stories. Please continue to share those as we process together. Let me pray for us all again. Father, we come to you knowing that this has changed us. I heard a cell phone ring early in the service, and my heart did a little flip-flop because I'm attuned now to things like that. And I know that for many of us, we're having those kinds of new reactions. Thank you for all these stories. I pray that you would take each one and that you would weave it into your big story. I pray that for all of us who have lived through this week with our hearts in our mouths, leaning on you as best we can, relying on you to enable us to do that, that by your Holy Spirit you would help us to continue to do that. Help us to continue to lean on you, to remind each other of who you are, to celebrate you in the midst of this long process, as Katie said. Help us to be your people, living out your kingdom within this church family and within the broader community of Colorado Springs. Being Jesus where we can, as faithfully as we can, as lovingly and as kindly as we can, and as generously as we can, to bring your healing, your comfort, and your hope, because you are God. In Jesus' name, amen.
God created you uniquely. Part of the way you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is by becoming the most authentic you. He created you uniquely to be you and not somebody else. He redeemed you to be you and not somebody else. You are each uniquely wired, designed in order to glorify God as you fulfill your purpose by being created in His image. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Oh, that doesn't... That totally... If you believe it, please say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. Then this morning, I felt like the Lord was saying to me to share 7 thoughts with you. In a crisis. There's an English pastor that lived in the 19th century, Joseph Parker, and he once said, there's a broken heart in every pew. We don't have pews. There's a broken heart in every chair. And in crisis, there are broken hearts. I can't tell you the number of people over the last week who have said to me, my heart is breaking. So what happens in a crisis? Number one, in a crisis, especially something like this, we experience our limits. We like to think we can control life. When something like this happens, we realize how little we have control over. The one thing that we have control over is our choice of how we respond. Both internally, ourselves, but also externally. And you've just heard stories of how people in this community have responded. Number two, when a crisis happens like this, we experience disorientation. The good thing about that is that it always gives us an opportunity for what? So we reorient ourselves. We ask in the midst of it, why me, why now, why God? And we take the time to reorient our lives. Number three, we experience fragmentation. Things fall apart. Somebody prayed or shared, I can't remember if it was a prayer or a share, but there is a tendency in crisis to begin to point the finger of blame. Who's at fault? And I would suggest that part of what we've heard in the stories is instead of fragmentation, it gives us an opportunity to come together. And as we come together, we come together. Does that make sense? And so rather than finding our lives being disintegrating, fragmenting, we actually experience something that we become more and more whole. Number four, we affirm the truth that God is good and God loves me. But in the midst of crisis, we ask the question, can I count on him? Is he really there for me? The psalmist gives us a great understanding of how we process that. The psalmist is always honest. The psalmist always talks about the struggle to come to that place of, yes, I can trust God. And when you're honest about what you're feeling and thinking, and you allow yourself, and we allow each other, to go through the struggle, it gives us the opportunity to come to the place of an affirmation of faith. Where sometimes we say with our mouths the things that we want to believe in order that our hearts can follow and actually come to a place of trust. Which is number five. When we get there, what we end up trusting is that God can bring good out of this tragedy. One of the things that God does is he takes that which is evil, such as the cross, and he turns it into good. In the cross, he turns the greatest evil into the greatest good. And he can do that with our lives as well. Number six, when we love God in the midst of crisis, it gives us an opportunity to love God in a new way, and it has to do with loyalty. I want to read three short verses. Daniel 3:17, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They say to Nebuchadnezzar, if the God we serve is able to deliver us from the fire furnace, he will. But even if he does not, we will not serve your gods. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Habakkuk 3:17-18. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. And then the seventh point is that we can celebrate. We can be joyful. That we can experience at the same time deep, deep sorrow and great joy, which is exactly what this table is all about. It's the mixture of sorrow and joy all together. And so as we come to the table this morning, I'd like to just share that God speaks to us at this table. He comes to us in the common, ordinary things of life. And in the midst of them, he gives us a glimpse of who he is and a glimpse of eternity. He invites us to this table of common bread and ordinary juice, fruit of the vine, wine. They tell of his sacrifice, but they also remind us of his love and what he has for us in the future. We come to the table to remember what he has done, but also to count on the promises of what he will do and to know his presence now, here, in this place, in the present. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He gave his life as a ransom for many. He gave up his position and power in order to serve. He was obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. He loved his own, and he loved them to the end. He lived, he died, he rose again. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he lives and reigns and prays for us, and he will return. And he is here today to meet us at this table. I want to invite all the elders, deacons who are here to serve, if you'd please come. We need 16 of you. Don't wait. We're in a hurry. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this sacrament of grace, for the light found here, light that does not fade, for joy that no man can take from us, for the forgiveness of sins, for the love that never ends, and for your presence, O Lord. Take these common and ordinary elements of bread and wine and consecrate them to your sacred purpose in our lives. And we pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On the night on which our Savior was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "When you eat this bread, you show that my life has been given for you." And so in the same way, he invites us today to come and eat this bread and show forth the reality and experience the nurturing love of God as we share in his body given for us. And in a similar manner, after supper, he took the cup. He blessed it, and then he poured it. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you. Drink ye all of it." It's been many, many months since I've been able to serve communion this way. And it's my habit to spill the wine. And the reason I spill the wine is because Jesus spilled his blood for us. It was not nice and neat and clean and easy. It was messy. God meets us in the mess of life. And that's what this table is about. I invite you to come to his table because your lives are messy. Come to his table not because you've got it together, but because you need help and nurture in your time of need. Come not because you have no need of forgiveness, but because you are deeply in need of forgiveness. Come not because you love the Lord completely, but because you love him just a little and you want to love him more. Come because you need your lives to be nurtured by the reality of the presence of Christ here at this table.